Okay, y'all ready to get back to Galatians?
Okay.
We're not gonna. Okay. I've been attending for several weeks now. It's been like 3 or 4 weeks. Kind of dealing with the things that we have to deal with as Christians and what's on the horizon and what we ought to know about. No, we spent 2 weeks looking at the Antichrist and his mark and how that's surely on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Diane was... Maybe the jab's not the mark of the beast, but it's certainly preparing people for it.
Right.
You know, please jab me. Please inject me. Please give me a mark. And this week, again, they were talking about people are, you know, making bogus vaccine cards. So they want to put it in electronic form. And then they eventually, it's going to be so much easier if they had put a chip in you. Because then they'll know that you're really vaccinated or not. You won't have all these people trying to get around the system. And people will think, well, that's a great idea. That'll work. Yeah, we've talked about that. Doesn't turn out real good in the end.
No.
Doesn't. Well, and I kind of intended to go on, and then I got to thinking on some things, and actually even one fellow I read after quite regularly, Herschel Smith, has a blog called The Captain's Journal. He deals with all sorts of things. And he's not exactly where we are theologically, but he is, you know, he would call himself a Reformed Protestant, I guess, of some sort. Maybe he's a Presbyterian, I don't know. But he's certainly a sovereign grace man. He believes in the absolute sovereignty of God, believes in the absolute inspiration and inerrancy of the Scriptures, and many, many issues we're on the same page. And Herschel's a smart fella. He's some kind of highfalutin engineer, and when he studies something, he studies it. And he produced something this week that made me think, you know, I should have addressed this aspect of it too. And today we're going to talk, and maybe next week too, I don't know, we're going to talk about abortion and the jab. And I'd heard things, maybe you heard things. I even had a friend that after I posted something this week, he was like, well, because I said, you know, the vaccines, all of them, use aborted cells. All of them. And my friend said, well, I thought I'd heard about this one and that one, but I heard about not the Johnson & Johnson. Herschel researched that if you go to his blog page, The Captain's Journal, and right at the top, he's got a pinned post about Christian exemptions or standing against it and whatever. But he goes through a list of like 30 of the vaccines, because all over the world, you know, they got a different one in Israel, they got a different one in Russia, they got a different. He goes through all of them and gives you the exact cell line that they've taken from aborted fetuses that they've used in the vaccine or in the testing of the vaccine. All of them. Well, that ought to cause a dilemma for a Christian, I think.
Yeah.
And so did Herschel. And you can go there. They're all listed. You can go back. He's got sources. He's got reasons. You can go back. They all admit what cell line they used. And some of them call, I forget, I think I wrote it here somewhere, but they got something like they call legacy. And it's like they took the aborted cells and they used them to make other cells. So you're not really using the aborted cells. You believe that? How about these other cells that they made from the aborted cells? They wouldn't be there if it hadn't been these aborted cells. How about that? It's ridiculous. But they try to...
Mm-hmm.
Mind games on you and on themselves. So I'm going to start, and I've got a few roundabout way eventually getting there, and just to kind of set the pace. I've already told you everything I'm going to say. Most folks will agree that murder is wrong. Even most secularists will admit or will agree that murder is wrong, though not all of them. And again, they will try to redefine murder. We come at it from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective. And of course, we can go back to Cain and Abel and God's dealing with that and whatever. I tell you, you think, well, you sure have got dealing with a lot of things, talking about a lot of verses. I could talk about Myron Moore. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. That word there literally speaks of murder. It speaks of murder individually. Listen here, maybe this isn't right on the subject, but I got to say this. Or it speaks of murder on behalf of a tyrannical state. Scriptures justify self-defense as individuals and as countries. And some from the more secular perspective sometimes talk of a non-aggression principle, and that's not enough in and of itself, but it's better than most. And that's what those who call themselves libertarians, and if I'm going to have a political moniker, I would call myself a Christian libertarian. Confederate in there too somewhere. The non-aggression principle is you don't mess with other people, you don't mess with other people's stuff. And the only legitimate function of government is to prevent that from happening. That's it. Thou shalt not kill. And in particular, the scriptures speak in many places against the murder, against the killing of the innocent. Exodus 23 and verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Listen to what God says. You better not be slaying the innocent, because I'm going to take care of you, basically, is what that verse is saying. And yeah, and we can get around about it, and we have to address the elephant in the room, the ungodly empire. The Dresden firebombings, the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, killed myriad innocents. And the people who did that were guilty of killing innocents. Some of them later repented of it. It was interesting, as I've been reading some of late, the bombing crew and even the chaplain that was associated with them, of the second bombing, almost all repented of that. But the first bombing, they were all proud of what they'd done. Just because you're doing it on the behalf of the state, murdering innocents is not going to stand with God. From the human perspective, the most innocent that we can imagine are the unborn. The forming baby in the womb. Well, they have natural hereditary depravity, and we understand that, but they have not done an act. They are the most innocent of any that we can imagine. God says, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. And again, I was dealing with somebody who was a relative of one of my preacher friends, and he reposted something I put online, and she took exception to that. And it was about the jab and whatever, and then she tried to turn it around. You can't say, you know, your body, your choice, because of, you know, the abortion issue. I said, the abortion, there's another human being involved. It's called murder, what abortion is. And, of course, you can't. After a while, I just stopped talking, because you can't. Those people, their minds are made up. They're mush. And even as we're looking here at what God says about the unborn, medical science, up until most recent times, they understood that's a human in the womb. It's an unborn baby. It's not a mass of tissues. Where did that come from? If it's not human, what is it? And that one video I remember a long time ago talked about the magical, what's the birth tube called? Magical birth tube. The magical...
vagina?
No, where they come through. Anyway, the magical birth channel, whatever. That, you know, they're turned into a human by going through that. And that was all tongue-in-cheek. Yes,
right, I remember
what they were saying. But what was the word they used? The magical birth channel, maybe. Something like that.
Canal.
Huh? Yes, the magical birth canal. There you go. There you go. Listen, I can say the motto of the Confederacy was Dale and DC. And right here, this passage tells us, listen, God will judge. God will judge. God says, if you murder the innocent, you slay the righteous, I'll come get you. And it won't be like Joe Biden sending a little drone. No. You can read the scriptures. Consider God's judgment even on his own people, Israel, and on a matter very much related to this one. Don't think America is going to escape God's judgment for the abortion holocaust. And again, we're eventually going to see how this is tied into the jab. Psalm 106, verse 36. Some interesting verses. And they served their idols. He's speaking of the people of Israel when they'd fallen into idolatry, paganism. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood. There's going to be a reckoning. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. The idols of Canaan. The idols of self-gratification and all that goes on. The idols, and if you take it to the further extent where we eventually apply it to the jab, you know, it's the idols of self-gratification, the idols of free and unaccountable sex, and then you just get rid of whatever. Offer up your children. And the use of these things in the jab, again, as we see what's going on today, there is a war against God, and there's a war against death, you know. It's okay for me to use aborted children if it keeps me alive. Because all that matters is me. You know, people are... The government lost its war on poverty, you know. It loses this war on violence. Loses this war on racism. It loses its... You name it. And it's going to lose the war on death. Everybody's going to die. Don't matter how many jabs you get. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled in their own works. Defiled in their own works. And this thought just came to me. I'm not a doctor nor the son of a doctor. And people thought this COVID thing was what was an issue with, like, your lungs and breathing, and they found out that it's an issue with blood.
Right.
It's blood clots. It's these things that bring. It just kind of, that just spoke to me there. I'm like, they polluted the land with blood. They were defiled with their own works. Payday someday. Failed in D.C. And went a whoring with their inventions. Verse 40. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people. People say, well, you know, America's a Christian nation. We're God's nation. I'm not so sure about that, but that's not necessarily a good thing when you behave the way America behaves. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. The scripture, the testimony of Scripture from beginning to end, and we'll have to deal with all these next week. I didn't mean to get through one page, but anyway. But the testimony of Scripture from beginning to end is that life begins at conception. That what is in the womb is not a mass of tissues, but a person. And we'll look how throughout Scriptures, the various Bible writers, you know, David and Jeremiah and others, when they spoke of themselves within the womb, they spoke of themselves as them. You know, when I was in the womb, I was me. And that's the language they use. And then we'll look particularly at a special case of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. Just this mass of tissues? No, it was a person. It was John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was quickened in the womb, for he recognized his Lord. And even his mother says, and we'll look at the particular verses because I think we ought to do that. But even his mother says, what jumped within her? She said, that mass of cells just jumped within me. Now she said the babe did. The babe. Not the mass of tissues. It was the babe. It was the babe that recognized the Lord. It was the babe that jumped within her. And throughout Scriptures, the same person who's born is the one that was in the womb. And again, until recent years, even medical science acknowledged these things, but then it got to be not politically correct anymore. It's just like we get into all these other psychological things, and I'm getting off a little bit, but you know, it used to be you recognized that that homosexuality was a deviance.
Right.
Now, you know, it's to be embraced, and those who recognize it for what it is, now we're the ones who got the problem. Now we're the ones with a phobia. God didn't change. God's words didn't change. Medical science changed, yes, but the medical truths did not change. Used to be the Hippocratic Oath particularly pointed out and specifically mentioned abortion. You know, but a doctor would never do that. Well, they don't say that part no more. That's not convenient. But from antiquity, these things were recognized, and we'll pay. We'll pay for laying them aside. And then we'll pick up, and I think maybe I can get through with this next week, but we'll pick up and look through these again. But the point I wanted to make, again, for the Christian to understand, don't believe these people. Do your research. Like I say, Herschel Smith did it. All, every one of the vaccines contains or was tested with cells that were obtained from aborted human beings. Every one of them. He gives you then the specific cell strains and lines if you're interested in that. I already knew these things. I already knew they'll be taking no jab anyway. But I think it's important for pulpits to communicate these things. Just people go on like, you know, going from the regular, you know, the convention's Sunday school material, and we just go through that. No, people need to be told the truth, and we need to deal with the issues of Scripture. And I'm not opposed to preaching through books of the Bible. I try to from time to time, even though it took me 10 years to get through Romans. And I don't know how long it took me to get through Galatians, and we're already up to chapter 5. So, brethren, I just feel, you know, if I'm not here to do this, then I'm no reason to keep this up. You know, if I'm not here to proclaim and speak the truth, then there's no reason for me to keep on doing it. And every day I get up, I get tired, and I say, I just want to wash my hands of this and go live a retired life and not do nothing like a lot of my friends I know. But I think, you know, I can't. This is what I was called to. This is why I'm here. And why, when it's all come to the critical head where everything else has been pointing to this, I can't quit now. Can't quit now. So, you pray for me, pray for yourself, pray for my dear wife that's put up with me for 49 years, and we'll pick up and talk a little bit more about this next week. We'll take our hymnals and turn to page number 166. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, number 166.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the step the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, need the healing cleansing. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, trust from self and seek to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Happy morning, our Lord rose from the grave and an empty tomb was found. Father, we know, but for that, we would be lost and undone. Father, we thank you for your everlasting, eternal love for your people. We thank you, Lord, that you were pleased. As best we can understand, that you were pleased to include us in that eternal and everlasting covenant. And Father, may it be manifested in our life and in our deeds. Father, give us wisdom and courage and discernment in these days in which we live to stand unashamedly, to stand without compromise. Lord, we thank you that indeed there's a remnant according to the election of grace. We thank you for the fellowship that we have with our fellow saints, with your people that we're able to communicate with even around the globe. Father, we pray for our friends and your people that are in the path of the storm coming in there in Louisiana. Lord, comfort them, shield them as you alone can. Father, help us all to realize that everything comes from your loving hand. Is intended for the good of your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are the sovereign God you are. Thank you for the completed atonement of our Savior, that it's finished. There's nothing for us to add. Thank you. Thank you for the work of the Spirit that gave us life, brought us to see, to understand, to embrace by the gifts of repentance, by the gift of the faith of Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.